This is Logan Secular. We're talking about the shocking arrest of pro-Hamas protesters at Easter church services in New York City.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Secular. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
This is Logan Seculo. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you had a great Easter weekend, celebrating with your friends, celebrating with your family, the resurrected Lord Savior Jesus Christ. But you know who didn't really have to be able to get such a fun church service? That was our friends over at St. Patrick's Cathedral. You may have heard of it. Big deal over in New York City. And what happened? You had protests break out, pro-Hamas protests that broke out in the middle of the service. When we get to the next segment of the broadcast, we're going to show it to you. You're going to see what happened here. Hopefully you didn't have the same thing happen. I am curious, did your church, did your place of worship, did they talk about this? Did they talk about Israel at all? Did that come up at all in the Easter service? Because I feel like it's something that probably should be addressed. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Will Hay, executive producer, is with me as well, as we're going to break down this, as well as have on CeCe Heil later on in the show, and Harry Hutchinson's both senior counsels with the ACLJ. And I did want to say a humongous thank you to everyone who supported the ACLJ during that month of March Life and Liberty Drive. Now, there'll be more ways for you to get involved very soon, starting today, but I wanted to first take a breath and say thank you. I know when I went off the air on Thursday, we were getting close to that stretch goal. That stretch goal of 20,500 champions, people that support the work of the ACLJ each and every month. And we surpassed that in a major way just the next day. And then over the weekend, I believe hitting over 2,700.
We're actually 20,818 as we speak while we're on the air now.
So gaining hundreds over the weekend. We were not quite at 20,500. I think we were at 20,004. So now to double that since we were on the air, again, I can't thank you enough. And thank you to everyone that downloaded the ACLJ prayer guide and had us in your prayers. And please continue to have us in your prayers. But we are seeing this kind of protest breakout. We are seeing the demonstration. We saw it over the weekend. I was watching a lot of social media feeds. You had people, obviously, in Israel who were commenting as they head into a Passover season here very soon. And then you had, obviously, all the Americans, presumably on social media, who have condemned Israel, has made them the villain in all of this, when they are trying to really just fortify and protect their homeland. You can have disagreements, by the way, with the way they're doing it. You may think it's gone too far, but the core of it is we have to remember where this all started. I'd love to hear from you today, 1-800-684-3110. And we get back, you will see, the clips from inside St. Patrick's Cathedral.
That's right. And you'll see when protesters decided to disrupt the Easter service. This was the Saturday night vigil heading into Easter. And they were doing it as there were thousands in the street that were protesting for Hamas in what they called the Palestinian Land Day.
Yeah.
So there were protests going on everywhere.
We had that happen
here
in Nashville.
That's
the Vanderbilt
campus. That's right.
Had a big problem where there was some civil unrest that happened, including arrests of journalists, arrests of people involved in it because they were breaking and entering different places they shouldn't be. So we are seeing, as much as you would think it would have started to cool down, it doesn't feel that way right now.
That's right. And we're seeing that across the country. We're seeing it on the Easter holiday. And just the contrast of what the protests are willing to do, the protesters are willing to do on one of the holiest holidays of Christianity, the foundation of Christianity. If the converse happened, it would spark World War III coming out of the Middle East. If it were something like that happened during Ramadan at a mosque.
Yeah, hey, we have just a really short break coming up, a minute and a half or so. I would ask you, if you're watching right now on YouTube or Rumble, can you please comment? Tell me what you did over your Easter holiday, or tell us what you think about this situation. What if this happened in your church? I'd love to hear from you. Throw a comment in there. If you haven't subscribed, if you haven't, throw a thumbs up. We appreciate it. I know you hear a lot of YouTubers that say that, but know that it really does matter. If you can't support the ACLJ financially, it's actually a great way to support the ACLJ, is to do that online by doing that right now. So either like, subscribe, throw us a comment, and say hey to me and Will. We'll be right back. Dracula, we are going to take you inside now. St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City, as like I said, what they would probably consider a pro-Palestinian, but a lot of us consider a pro-Hamas. Protests broke out when? It was Holy of Days during Easter services. Let's take a look.
Free, free Palestine! Stop the genocide! Free, free Palestine!
If you're watching this right now, you're seeing a handful of protesters with banners now starting to get in a scuffle and a fight with other people, presumably who work at the church, maybe security. Because, look, if you're in New York City and this breaks out, your first reaction isn't going to be, well, this is just a nice, peaceful protest that will end very quickly, especially when it involves radical Islam. You probably think, sadly, the gunfire's coming. Explosions are coming. So get your family out. So imagine how scary it would be to be in that situation if you are just a regular parishioner of St. Patrick's Cathedral in, again, New York City, one of the probably most popular churches in our country. Really sad to watch it. This was not... you talked about this earlier. And it's always the case with Christianity. If you flip it and you put this situation in any other... religion.
If a pro-Israel protester
right.
broke up a Ramadan prayer service in a mosque, the outcome would not be the same.
Yeah.
The outrage from the left in our country and from terrorists in the region, you would see another Benghazi happen. Or at least the left would blame another Benghazi on the fact that pro-Israel protesters decided to go in and make a statement in a mosque. And you know what? That isn't the appropriate place. And there's a reason that's not happening. You're not seeing that happen where a Friday prayer service during Ramadan or even a daily prayer service, because during Ramadan they have services every day, it's not something that is happening. It's not going across the headlines because they know that's not the appropriate forum for that speech. And instead, we're seeing these protests spill over from Times Square and from around the city of New York into places of worship during a holy Easter ceremony. And I think it's also telling looking at the audience that are in attendance, because they're not in New York. People can give back when there's a protester. You see lots of videos of protesters going at it on the streets in New York. Yeah. I think it's chilling to see how quiet and still they were. And it probably goes to that mindset you were talking about of, you're in a church, you're not expecting this to break out, and if it does, you don't know what's going to happen next. So there's
You're an older person. You're in that. If you're in New York, you likely lived through terrorist attacks, obviously the biggest one that we can think of with 9/11. Those things start going through your head, and you probably are trying to look for, how am I going to get out of here? What's the exit going to be? Sadly, we live in a world where that's not the case. Thankfully, it was stopped, and it was stopped pretty quickly. But still,
three of the individuals were charged. Yeah, so you do have to give some credit to the police of New York and the people there that would charge people so it would disrupt an Easter service.
Sadly, it's probably nervous for them to arrest them.
Right.
I mean, we live in a world where it's probably a brave cop who decided, I'm going to actually arrest these protesters and not just kick them out to the street. So you know what? Good on them. You can't just go in and do these kind of things and expect no consequences. But we do have to look at the society we live in, and we look at how we respond to the calls for Israel to either have a ceasefire or what it would look like. And Will, I know we're going to discuss some of that coming up, because there is some movements in that. We're also going to be joined by Cece Heil a little bit later. She just got back from Geneva. You've seen some of those videos we played last week, but now she's back in town. We can discuss what she did there, Will. But there's also a letter from 19 That's right. senators. And we're a little concerned about that.
So this is the issue and why we have a great government affairs team. We have our office in Jerusalem. We have all these people taking a look at little details to make sure that nothing gets past us. And when you see a rhetoric shift from the left, you know there's a reason behind it. They don't make a change in a way they talk about something for decades for no reason. There's established language. And when you see them use different words, a lot of times it causes concern. So this is a letter from 19 U.S. senators, all Democrats, and they sent a letter to President Biden calling for President Biden to recognize a non-militarized Palestinian state. Now, That's a unique word. You don't normally hear the term non-militarized. The normal term in these situations, in any wartime situation, is demilitarized. You think of the demilitarized zones that you hear about, whether it be in between North and South Korea or in the wake of World War II, places that were demilitarized zones. So they changed what used to be called a demilitarized Palestinian state. That was the official language. That was the established way that they would call for the establishment of a Palestinian state from the left. Now they're using this term non-militarized. And what a lot of analysts are keying into, and this is where it's a dangerous move when the left gets behind it, especially in an election year, is that a non-militarized zone would mean you have to take out Hamas. You have to take out the terrorists to make it non-militarized, or demilitarized rather. A non-militarized zone could allow them to let the Palestinian Authority become the leader of the government because they don't have an official military. And they don't have to do anything about the terrorists, but they could establish the state basically with status quo, with no real concessions from the Palestinian people and without wiping out Hamas. So it's another strike against Israel because Israel needs Hamas to be wiped out before ever thinking of a two-state solution because their security and their people's lives are on the line. So this is a very interesting term. You know that this shift from saying demilitarized to non-militarized wasn't on accident.
Yeah, and for most people, they would probably just not notice it.
They don't bat an eye at it.
Yeah, so I guess break that down a little bit. What's the key difference, or do we even know that yet? Or is it more just we know that they are messing with nuance?
Right. Well, it probably is the messing with nuance to get closer to a Palestinian state, because if it's demilitarized, then Hamas has to go. They can't have basically a standing army that Hamas has, and Hamas controls Gaza. They're an elected government there. So demilitarized would mean that even if Hamas isn't the leadership of the new Palestinian state, they've got to go because they're a de facto army for the Palestinian people. A non-militarized state would mean that the Palestinian Authority, who doesn't have a military because they rely so heavily on the terror, could then take leadership as status quo, no need to get rid of Mahmoud Abbas, no need to get rid of any of the bad actors in the Palestinian Authority, but it could be a signal that they are willing to let the status quo remain and just elevate statehood for the Palestinians under the leadership of Mahmoud Abbas and the Palestinian Authority.
Yeah, I think that hopefully that gives you a better understanding. I know that it's a lot to hear and a lot of data. But that's why we have our team at the ACLJ to help break it down and make it easier to understand, because I know even me just sitting there listening and going, okay, they changed this nuance.
I could tell.
You didn't bore me a touch. I think I'm trying to understand why they decide to make these changes, why they decide to do these nuanced moves. It's why you've had a lot in terms of Israel, and I think a lot of it's political. Heading into political season, they're seeing the writing on the wall that a lot of people amongst Democrats are looking at what's going on in Israel and are not in the typical Joe Biden Israel playbook, which would have been, by the way, someone who's very supportive of Israel. And you have them authorizing weapons and still doing those things. So maybe, you know, in Joe Biden's heart of hearts, he knows what's right here, but is having to play, the administration and mainline Democrats are having to play to this extreme base, because that extreme base at one point was the minority, and I think we're seeing it grow and grow to be, if a celebrity says it, therefore it is the fact.
And to your point as well, this is a political season, and two of the senators that signed on to this were the senators from Minnesota, Amy Klobuchar, and also
that's been an issue,
and Senator Tina Smith. Yeah. We know that that's an issue in their community. So if they can take a talking point back to their community, look what I did.
Yeah.
Look what I did to encourage President Biden. You know, he's going to get on the same page. Maybe don't abandon the party here, because we're doing the right thing. We're trying to get a Palestinian state, and they don't even have to get rid of Hamas. Yeah. You have to think that way, that the Democrat Party could be devious enough to say, this is also for the election. Yeah. This is just to try to get votes where we know we're at risk of losing them in the hotbed of anti-Israel, pro-Hamas sentiment, Michigan and Minnesota.
In the next segment, we are going to be joined by Cece Heil. She was in Geneva. You heard her making her statements. Can we play some of those probably coming up?
Yeah,
we'll play so you guys have a better, if you didn't watch us at the end of last week and a lot of people were out for the holiday, you'll be able to get a better understanding of what we're doing worldwide here at the ACLJ. Incredible, important work that goes beyond what's even happening in this studio. I want you guys to make sure you all know how much the work is happening all around the world, and we couldn't do it without you. And I have to say thank you, because not only did you help us meet our goals, but we exceeded those big fundraising goals, and I appreciate it. We surpassed, as I said, 20,800 ACLJ champions. Our goal for the month of that was to hit 20,000. That was the goal. Could we get 20,000 champions? Finally hit over, get over that hump. It took a long time, but then you blew it out of the water with another 800, so we could not be more thankful. Today, we are delivering a critical demand letter to the UN Security Council. If the Biden administration won't stand for Israel, you know the ACLJ will, and your voice will be heard. Like I said, we also had CeCe Heil, senior legal team, was in Geneva at the UN all last week. We're going to talk about that coming up. Also, I'm just going to say this. Not one of you is called. I can see how many of you are watching online. There's thousands of you watching online. All of you have access to phones. If you're watching online, likely you got access to a phone. Give me a call right now. I'd love your feedback. 1-800-684-3110. Is Joe Biden doing this as a political move? Do you think he actually believes it? Welcome back to Secular. We are joined by senior counsel CeCe Heil, which I want her to give a kind of a brief understanding to everyone who maybe they didn't see the videos last week. We had to show the videos for you in Geneva, which is really great. I think it's amazing that the ACLJ is doing this work. But for those who didn't, maybe just give a brief, you know, backup of why we were there.
Sure.
And why it's important for the ACLJ and for you to be there.
Right. So we always say Ministry of Presence is very important, and it really is, and especially at the United Nations. And they have three sessions. The Human Rights Council in Geneva has three sessions every year, and we try to be at several of those, but we certainly participate in those if we're not there, you know, on the ground from the ACLJ there. And so that's what we were doing this last week. It was the 55th session. We were there in meetings and doing oral interventions, and really just, again, standing up for Israel and for persecuted Christians.
I think we should take a look, if you didn't watch us last week, I know a lot of you were out for the Easter holiday. Will, which one do we want to play here first?
Yeah, I think since we've been talking about Israel, this is a great time to show that in this hostile body, which is the UN Human Rights Council.
Yeah, and I do want to bring that up before we get there. Is you're right, it's the Ministry of Presence of being there, because I think a lot of people, especially our supporters, hear the words UN and immediately go, why are you even there?
Right.
You know, why would you even dignify them with your presence?
Right. And so especially with Israel, we are usually the one of the only voices. There are just a few voices. I mean, there were a lot of interventions going on in 2 days discussing Israel. And we are one of, I think, maybe five that actually defended Israel. Some of them were actually hostages that had been released. Wow. And had been, and so they actually had, you know, their own story to tell, but we were there standing up for Israel. So it is very important, because if we are not there, then there is not a voice, especially on the Israel front, for Israel.
And because there were five, that is probably a high number in defense of Israel, as normally happens at the UN Human Rights Council. Let's go ahead and take a listen and watch at CeCe in Geneva before the UN Human Rights Council.
I give the floor to European Center for Law and Justice.
On October 7th, 2023, Israel faced one of the worst attacks by Hamas, Palestinian Islamic Jihad, and other terrorist groups from the Gaza Strip. Over 1,200 Israelis were brutally killed, including men, women, children, infants, and the elderly. Women were raped and mutilated. Dead bodies were desecrated. The terrorists bragged about these atrocities. There's no doubt that Hamas's actions constituted crimes against humanity, war crimes, and genocide. Yet the international community is condemning Israel for defending itself and vowing to eliminate the terrorists who deliberately committed such evil acts. We saw that happen here yesterday. Instead of condemning Hamas's war crimes, UN officials have accused Israel of committing genocide, even though Israel takes every precaution to minimize harm to civilians. While many are quick to condemn Israel for civilian casualties, they give a free pass to Hamas, even though Hamas is responsible for those casualties because it uses its own civilians as human shields. This council must unequivocally condemn Hamas for its war crimes against Israel and affirm Israel's inherent right to self-defense. Further, we demand the release of the remaining hostages being held by Hamas in flagrant violation of human rights and the laws of armed conflict. Thank you.
Well, that was an amazing thing. First, I want to say thank you, and also pretty brave to be sitting in that room to say those words. It's easy to watch on video, but I know to probably sit there knowing you're in a hostile environment for the most part. Yeah. It's very powerful. So I want to thank you for that, because that was, like you said, we need to be there, and y'all are incredibly strong lawyers. But to be in that room, I know it's got to feel a little different.
It was really, truly my honor. I have to say that. It was my honor to stand up for Israel. But there were times where literally in 2 days, all you had was the pro-Palestinian, you know, people. And I literally said to our team, I was like, just kind of watch my back, because I don't know what kind of, you know, what kind of response I'm going to get from this. And we did see that, you know, it's so pro-Palestinian that instead of people starting with October 7th, they started with October 9th. Yeah. They just totally forgot about October 7th.
Right.
And then they started equating the hostages, saying everyone in Gaza is a hostage. So the spin that goes on, if we aren't there holding them accountable and telling the truth, you're not going to hear the truth.
And I do want to also bring up, because you had an opportunity not just to speak on Israel, in defense of Israel, but also our client in Pakistan, many clients in Pakistan. And we got a favorable opinion out of the UN Working Group on Arbitrary Detention while you were away. And we brought that up. But you haven't had an opportunity to speak to it yet, because this is work you actually do a lot here for the ACLJ and for our clients, is when we have someone who's being detained, being persecuted for their faith, on death row for their faith. One of the ways we engage the UN is through this working group on arbitrary detention.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that and what we also got out of them in for one of our clients.
So I will say again, you know, we say the UN doesn't really have much teeth and can't really do much, but there are some working groups that we do interact with on a regular basis. And the working group on arbitrary detention is one. We got great opinions on Brunson. We got great opinions with Pastor Saw. We got a great opinion with Shahzad Masih, who's the 16-year-old who's been wrongfully imprisoned for false blasphemy charges. And I'll tell you, we didn't have much movement on this case within the Pakistani government until this working group opinion got published. And when they start seeing that the world's eyes are on them, and we can use that with our government, with the Pakistani government, we can use that, we actually saw some movement. So we do know how to interact with the UN and, you know, use the working groups and interact with the working groups and get some good opinions and some good information to actually push these member states to do the right thing.
Absolutely. And we are going to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Can we try to clear that call that's up right now just to see if we can get her on the air? Kathy, stay on hold. But again, phone lines are open, 1-800-684-3110. I will tell you that we do have some breaking news. We are trying to get all our facts straight before we report that. It does involve Israel and what's going on in the Middle East. I will get that to you. We go on break in about 2 minutes. I'm going to confirm with my team all the information we have, and I'm going to report that back to you in just a few minutes. But we do have some big breaking news potentially out of the Middle East if you're watching this live. So stay tuned. Again, I want to make sure I have all my facts straight before we do that. Kathy, you're on hold right now. Stay on hold. I would love to take as many calls as we can coming up. This is the end of the first half hour. If you're on social media, stay right, you know, stand by. We only take a 55-ish second break on social media to reset for those on terrestrial radio and satellite radio. If you're listening on some stations that don't carry the full hour of this broadcast, find us all the time, whenever you get your podcast, wherever you get your radio, or I'm sorry, wherever you get your podcast, whether you watch streaming shows, we're available there. YouTube, Rumble, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, find this broadcast. Easiest thing to do, though, is just go to aclj.org. And while you're there, check out the incredible content that we provide. And we're able to provide that at absolutely no cost to our user. We're able to do that because we are supported. We are supported by you, ACLJ supporters and champions. So we can't do that without you, but go to aclj.org, look at the incredible articles, look at the incredible video content, and the great stuff that comes out of people like Cece, people that are in the highest levels or have been in the highest levels of securities and obviously on the fight for religious freedom around the world. Do that today. Just spend some time on there. Follow us on, like I said, an easy way to support is to just do what maybe your kids have told you to do on other YouTube channels, to like and subscribe. I know it sounds ridiculous, but sometimes that can do so much, because that what that does is tells YouTube or Rumble or whatever, Facebook, it tells them that other people should be seeing this content. So not only does it give us a little bit of a, you know, boost of ego because it's saying that you approve of what we say, what it really does is help get it into the situation where more people now will be shown this content. And just like we need to be at the UN, we need to make sure we are on all platforms that are deemed safe and reliable, and we have someone like YouTube or Rumble, which you may not think is the best place to be if on YouTube, but we know thousands of you watch here each and every day. I'm going to ask you, if you're on there right now, like, comment, subscribe. We'll be right back in under 1 minute with some of that breaking news.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. I did tell you we'd come back with some breaking news, Will, and we do have it. Look, there's a lot of scattered reporting right now happening. Again, this at least involves, at a minimum, what's going on in the Middle East. Whether Israel is directly involved or not, we don't know. It's not confirmed yet. But let's give a breakdown of what happened just moments ago.
So reports are coming out, and we're reading this from Reuters, from Fox, from many other sources in the region as well, that an airstrike launched at the Iranian consulate in Damascus, Syria, today, on Monday, has killed Mohammad Reza Zahidi. He's a senior commander in Iran's Revolutionary Guard Corps, and he was sanctioned starting in 2010 by the United States Treasury Department, and he was described as a player playing a key role in Iran's support for Hezbollah, so their proxy in Lebanon. U.S. Treasury said that he has acted as a liaison to Hezbollah and Syrian intelligence services and was reportedly charged with guaranteeing weapons shipments to Hezbollah from Iran. The reports are that this was an Israeli airstrike. They have been carrying out many airstrikes in Syria against Hezbollah and Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps targets, especially in the wake of October 7th, as they tried to keep the engagement level with Iran lower than they need so they don't have a two-front war. But also, Israeli military spokesperson told Reuters that we do not comment on reports in the foreign media.
Yeah.
So no confirmation or denial, as is standard practice by Israel when these things happen.
Yeah,
but the reports are saying that the consulate building itself in Damascus was leveled, and there are apparently 5 dead, one of them being this Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps senior leader.
Yeah, so that is the breaking news. As more unfolds, we will go back to it if necessary. If there's any updates, if you're joining us right now. That said, I know a lot of you are joining us right now. We saw a number spike here about the arrest made on Easter services. That actually happened on Saturday night at St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City. We saw pro-Palestinian / pro-Hamas protesters disrupt a service. You can find those clips. We showed them earlier. But I wanted to make sure if you were joining us, that's what we were discussing. And they were arrested. And good. There were some brave cops out there doing their job. So I have to commend them for doing that. These weren't people going in, peacefully protesting on the sidewalk. These were people interrupting a Easter service in the city of New York, a city that has dealt with terror and dealt with a lot of crisis over the last handful of years. Look, some at their own doing and some by what they voted for. But sadly, that's just the case. So we want to make sure, if you're just joining us right now, that is what that headline was about. Let's go ahead and take some phone calls. Let's go to Kathy, who's calling in Kentucky on line 2. And if you want to be on the broadcast, 1-800-684-3110. Got 3 lines open right now. 1-800-684-3110. Welcome, Kathy.
Hello. I have a comment. I am so glad that you all reported on CC Howe's work at the UN, and that you all sent her, because our country, which used to be represented by the words, the land of the free and the home of the brave, we are seeing our freedoms being questionable all over the place now. And we are no longer a land of the brave. We've given into, Jesus said you cannot serve two gods, both God and mammon. And our leaders have chosen mammon.
Yeah, I think that's, Kathy, and I'm only cutting you off because we only got a minute till break here. I think that you're exactly right. I think there are brave people within the ACLJ. There are brave people like you who call in. It may not be in our leadership right now. Look, there are some good people, obviously, on different sides here in terms of what goes on in Washington, D.C. But from the top of the top, I think you're right. They're bowing down to what they feel like is what's going to win them an election, not even what they know is true. I honestly think that's why you have a rise in someone like a RFK Jr. You may not like him. You may not agree with him. But I think we can all kind of say, I think he believes what he says. And that's maybe oddly refreshing out of Washington, D.C., that you could support someone potentially you don't even agree with just because there's a breath of fresh air that what they're saying, at least you think they believe. That is a big problem here. It's been a big problem in Washington, D.C., for decades. don't know how to solve that one, but thankfully we have organizations like the ACLJ, people like CC Heil, our amazing team here to fight for you. Go to ACLJ.org. We'll be right back with Dr. Harry Hutchinson in just a moment. Seculo, as I said, phone lines are open, 1-800-684-3110. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We'll get to you coming up in the next segment. We are now joined by Senior Counsel and Director of Policy, the ACLJ, Harry Hutchinson, to discuss a pretty interesting turn of events. You know, Will, you had President Biden, he was on the Today Show on Easter, or NBC, with Al Roker on Easter, discussing all of the, fun festivities and in that. But you got to give it to Al Roker. He asked a question that maybe was going to make things a bit uncomfortable for President Biden, but no, they have this answer really prepped. Let's hear from first Al Roker, you know him, love him, followed by President Biden.
And people are saying, but Mr. President, I'm feeling, my buck isn't going as far. What do you say to those folks about the economy and what's going on?
Well, I say we have the best economy in the world. We got to make it better. We really do have the best economy in the world. Jobs are up more than they've ever been. We're in a situation where the lowest unemployment rate in 50 years is maintained.
So there you have it. The best economy in the world. We've got to make it better. We have the best economy in the world. Jobs are up. Everything is great. Don't, look behind the curtain. Everything is fine here. And I want to clarify, this actually was this morning. I was a little confused because of the Easter Bunny and all of the presents of the Easter things. They held the annual Easter egg roll today on Monday. So this was the Today Show that was there. But I just wanted to clarify that in case you wanted to fact check me, Facebook. I want to make sure that you knew that I knew that. But how do you respond to that when you hear? Because it's definitely a prepared semantical, if you will, if that's a word, argument to say this is the best economy in the world.
Well, it's certainly untrue. So, for instance, So he talks about job growth being up. Well, let's focus on jobs for the moment. It's imperative to note that job growth is not up for American-born citizens. Job growth is actually up for foreign-born individuals, including illegals. So I think the president is somewhat confused. Number two, prices are up by 14% since Biden took office. And to some extent, that may understate the price increases that people are incurring at the moment, because the Bureau of Labor Statistics, when it calculates inflation, it focuses on rental prices, not home ownership data. And home ownership costs have gone up for some Americans by a factor of 80%. And so if you are looking at your own mortgage payments vis-a-vis what you might have paid in 2019, the prices have gone through the roof. In addition, gasoline prices are up in part because the United States is supporting a war between Ukraine and Russia, and both countries are destroying energy reserves as part of their war effort. So that is sending gasoline prices up. So one of the things that most Americans should focus on, in my opinion, is that native-born employment is a whopping 5.5 million below its pre-pandemic trend. Now, I grant you that's a trend,
right?
But it's actually 121,000 less than before the pandemic. So many Americans are hurting, and most of the job growth, to finish the story, is in part-time employment.
So I want you to take that statement from Professor Hutchinson here and memorize it. Because when you are at a dinner party or you have your family over, your more liberal friends who are going to regurgitate, oh, we have the best economy ever, and yada, 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 and all these facts, I want you to go back. We just provided you with an extensive reason why that is simply, Will, untrue.
Well, and it makes you wonder if the Democrats get away with this talking point, is their new MO going to be, let's just shut down the economy entirely? Then we can get record job growth when we open it back up, because that's kind of what he's implying here.
And you make an incredibly valid point, Will, because a lot of the so-called job growth is simply a recovery of jobs that were lost during the pandemic.
Right.
And so Biden wants to take credit for that. In addition, it's important to keep in mind that there has not been a growth in high-paying, full-time jobs paying full benefits. Mm. And so most people, even if they are newly employed, they are not feeling better about themselves, and justifiably so.
I think it's sort of the old school politics, which is blame the previous administration for anything that is going wrong, and then try to take credit for things that, you know, really you don't have the credit you could take. So it feels pretty normal, weirdly, in politics for this to be the case. It is a ridiculous statement to feel that way. No one feels that way. No one feels like we're living in the best economy of all time. All of us have seen our bills go up. Everyone has seen all food prices go up. Again, you have decisions being made by families who probably never would have thought of, do I need to get this pizza delivered or do I need to go pick it up? I mean, legitimately, those kind of decisions are having to be made because you go, well, they're going to charge me this and then there's going to be a service fee and then, you know, I'm going to have to pin $20 on a tip, and then all of a sudden, my $40 to feed my family tonight just went to $80, $85, and I'm sorry, it's no longer about convenience, about saving, you know, as much money as you can when things are increasing and increasing, you know, every day it feels like the prices are going up. So to say the economy isn't the best place it's ever been, it's just moving around numbers.
Well, and to your point as well, California just started today, as we're on air, a new minimum wage for fast food workers.
Saw that.
It's $20 an hour to work in fast food.
These weren't supposed to be career jobs. I mean, maybe not, you're supposed to be management, you know.
And right. But to that point, I still don't know that that's a livable wage, making $20 an hour working at a fast food restaurant. But yet, this is a reactionary type move because of how expensive, how debt-laden our economy is. And I don't know that the workers in California are necessarily going to be super thrilled about this move. Maybe they are because there's some reprieve. But the fact that they have to mandate a 20, which you can get into the whole discussion, Professor Harry Hutchison, about minimum wage law. But the fact of the matter that they felt compelled that it had to get to this point should be a better barometer of the economy than what the President of the United States is saying.
Precisely. So, number one, with the increase in minimum wages in California and in other states, I might add, this should lead to layoffs. But number two, fast food chains are going to face a double whammy because lower income individuals are already spending less at fast food chains. So fill in the names, McDonald's, Burger King, Five Guys. Their prices have gone up, and low-income individuals are actually spending less. So this should fuel job declines, at least in some of those industries going forward. And then there's a second hit that's out there, which is the roaring national debt, which has gone up very fast under Joe Biden. And at some point, the interest payable on that debt will go up. And what does that fuel? It fuels, arguably in the long term, more inflation and more pain for average Americans. So I think part of the problem with Joe Biden is Joe Biden is a wealthy individual who is disconnected from the American people, from average working class and middle class Americans, and he keeps making these statements which make little sense.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Hutchison, for coming in here and really helping educate our listeners and me and Will and really understand the vast spin that can be taken when it comes to the way politics works. When you know the facts and when you see what they are, it's very clear. And look, again, like I said, go back and replay that. Listen to it. Take it in, because you're going to have to be able to defend yourself when you're having these discussions over the next 6 months or so as we head to a presidential election. What are we, 8 months out?
Less than 8 months at this point.
Less than 8 months.
November 5th is when we go to the polls.
Yeah, so it's going to come fast, and there's going to be a lot you're going to have to defend yourself of why you're choosing to either vote or not vote for the current president, for a third party, or for President Trump. Make sure you get those facts and listen to what we broadcast here. I also encourage you, we only got a minute left here till we head to our final segment of the day. I would love to have a full bank of calls and just spend the rest of the day hearing from you, because thousands of you are watching right now and there's three lines open. I want to hear from you right now. I want your point of view as someone who supports the work of the ACLJ, as obviously someone who listens to this broadcast, if you're listening on radio or watches it on YouTube or Rumble every day. I want to hear from you. Now is the time to open up those lines on any of the discussions we had today, whether that was Israel, whether that is the economy. Do you feel like, I know a lot of you have been around longer than me who are listening right now, do you feel like we're living in the best economy of all time right now? Best economy in the world? Give me a call, 1-800-684-3110. I just want to spend the next segment hearing from you. Go to ACLJ.org to support the work of the ACLJ. Again, a special thank you to all of you that support us during that Life and Liberty Drive in the month of March. Broke records, and it's really amazing. And we are so, so thankful to God and to you for doing that. We'll be right back with Your Voice. DeSeculo, like I said, I want to take your calls. Right now, phone lines are jammed. So let's go ahead, kick it off with those who have been holding the longest. Annabelle in California, line four. You're on the air.
Hi, Will and Jordan. It's fabulous to talk to you. A little emotional, so I'll get through this really, really fast.
No, it's okay.
I was just listening to the words of Officer Diller's widow in New York. Mm-hmm. I'm from New York originally. And they seared my very being. It really did. And I know that's true for millions as well. How many times have we heard such grief after a murderous attack at the hands of, as in this case, an individual released after 21 arrests? I no longer think it's far-fetched to fear a door knock at my home merely for my political and religious beliefs. I can afford an attorney, but certainly not a whole team that for decades has represented a president, fought at The Hague, the UN, the Supreme Court for liberty and freedom around the globe. And, excuse me, I'm really emotional. Being a champion for the ACLJ offers protection worldwide, but also for me personally. And sadly, with every passing day, I feel the urgency, for an advocate grows stronger. That urgency grows stronger. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart, and God bless you all.
Annabelle, thank you obviously for calling in with that statement. We really appreciate it. Appreciate you always calling in. And I appreciate the prayers as well. That is something that we desperately need. If you can give, great. If you can support and become an ACLJ champion, sure, we encourage it. But if you could just pray for us, that's a huge blessing to us. We need it. Times get tough. Things get hard. We could use the support, and we can feel it. So I encourage you, please, if you have a nightly prayers, if you have a daily prayers, put us on that list. Put the ACLJ on the list. No, we can feel it, and we really could use it. So thank you, Annabelle, for doing that. We're going to continue on taking phone calls. Let's move on. Let's go to Scott, I believe, who's calling from Nevada, listening on the radio, which I appreciate. Scott, you're on the air.
Thank you. I just wanted to say that the economy is terrible, and I don't know why this government gets away with calling it right. A good economy, but just, you know, one price example for me, you know, my wife and I are Diet Pepsi drinkers, and we go to the store, and we used to pay $2.99 for a 12-pack of cans, and now we're paying $10.99, and that's just one item. And we also bought a new house last year with good credit and are sitting on 7.5% interest rate, and so I can refinance it down. I don't even know how people can afford a house. And I think that if the Republicans were smart, that would be the sole focus on this campaign, is the fact that you go to the grocery store and spend $390 for one cart full of groceries.
Scott, I fully agree with you. Here's what I've said, and it's not to sound elitist, it's not to sound pompous, but there are people that are in your situation or my situation who've never questioned probably or haven't in their adult life going to the grocery store and buying, like you said, a 12-pack or a 6-pack of Diet Coke or Diet Pepsi or soda, or have ever thought, hey, I shouldn't stop by this fast food restaurant. Those in America, that shouldn't be where we're at. I understand there are people that are at that and will be at that and are working towards that. But the place in your career, the place in my career, and our points in our life, we should be able to almost ignore the price changes in a soda. But that's not where we're at. All of us are looking at our bills and going, what is happening? And I think food and drink is certainly the easiest place to see it impacting all of us. Maybe you have one of those things where in your bank account where it breaks down where everything goes.
I was about to say, you see the rise in the ads for things like Rocket Money or a lot of those apps that will go and analyze your bank statement for you and see and help you.
This is not an ad, by the way.
No, but it helps you trim out expenses.
Yeah.
Because the best economy in the world is at a place where you're seeing tripling the price of a 12-pack of soda.
Yeah, you hear this Diet Pepsi drinker in Nevada going, I got to scale back on my Diet Pepsi. I mean, that's crazy.
Right.
That's crazy.
And that's not the American dream.
No, and it's just, we all need to take a look at that. Sure, that's not where your worry should be, but your worry should be that if we're looking that closely, if we are seeing that crazy increase, if we're all looking at how we're spending on very minute items, then the whole world is really, and the whole country is at a point of, yeah, you may be able to spend some reason it can be the best economy in the world because the whole world's a mess. And I still believe we live in the best country out there. But these situations really should bring at least to head to a lot of people who maybe aren't even the political type, that aren't paying attention to what's going on in the news or social issues or anything like that. But everyone is affected by their groceries. It's just the case. Let's continue on. We'll try to get to as many of these as we can. First of all, thank you all for calling. Bill's in Wyoming, watching on ACLJ.org. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks. I want to add to that business about in California.
Right.
Because I used to work in fast food, and here's the deal with raising the minimum wage. Let's say I'm working for my boss at $15 an hour. Now somebody brand new comes in at $20 an hour. Now I got to try and train that person if they want to work. Plus the fact that my employer has raised the prices of their food, so it's really a can of worms that's basically a rotating circle.
Problem is that with minimum wage legislation, and this is where I tease that I could talk about it all day with Professor Hutchison, is that the people that minimum wage legislation hurts are the people making minimum wage. Because if they're mandated by the government, you have to now raise it, say you go from 15 to 20%. Then they start analyzing their workforce differently. They start laying people off, or they start cutting hours, or they start shifting who they're hiring. Maybe a younger crowd, because they can start off that are more entry level, not someone who's been around longer. Yeah. Or the only person on the ladder of salary and payment and employment that minimum wage legislation hurts is the bottom rung. It knocks it off and makes people start at a higher level. It doesn't equate to everyone.
All right, let's take one more call at least. We'll see if we can get to more. Melissa in South Carolina, line 3. You're up. Watching on Rumble. Thank you. Free speech.
Hi. I agree with Professor Harry 100% regarding the economy, and I don't believe that anything is going to change unless Donald Trump gets back in office 2024. Thank you for the work of the ACLJ. I pray for you all daily.
Thank you so much, Melissa. Definitely your point of view. There are a lot of people who feel that way. There has to be change, but you know, thank you for your calling, your point of view, and thank you for your support. Let's very quickly take Jeffrey in Nevada. Jeffrey, you're on the air, but we only got about 40 seconds or so. Go ahead.
So I don't really believe there is a middle class anymore. I feel like either you're low income or you make enough money to get away with not paying taxes. Yeah. Everybody that actually works is on the low end of the totem pole at this point.
We're going to see that happen too. I think you're going to see a lot of businesses shift from that. A lot of those places that when you have a fast food mandate at $20 an hour, you're going to see some of those go to either AI or to driven by robotics, or you're going to see a lot of that go away. You're either going to have the very low end or the very high end. It's going to be hard to find anything in between.
And for a big government liberal or philosophical big government person, that's the dream. Because then you have everyone except the elite dependent upon you.
Yep.
And that's what drives them to gain more power. So we're not going to let it stand, though. We're going to fight back.
That's right. And you can do that by supporting the work of the ACLJ. I did want to take this last second again and thank you for that amazing month of March. As we head into this month of April, we're going to give you more reasons why it is important for you to support our work. But today I wanted to say thank you. We blew that number out of the water. We thought we'd be going into the weekend hoping we'd hit that stretch goal of 20,500 ACLJ champions. And you took us over the top, so far over the top, to over 20,800. 100 champions. That means hundreds of you came in just over the weekend. Obviously, thousands of you with individual support. Again, thank you so much. Be a part of that again today. It's not like that shuts off. Go to ACLJ.org. You can do that. You can still become an ACLJ champion. And it's still an amazing time to do so. We'll talk to you tomorrow more on Seculo.